for the meeting. Concern herself with the cleaning. Yo, yo, yo. My mother say, woman, you cannot talk like this. Rihanna say, woman, I say, come on, it's for that you. Come on, it's for that you, baby. Control it, money, yo. I want to teach you the dance, yo. Chiki, chiki, kope, wa. Tomato, pantana, mera, wo. Ah, dance, sikira. Potato, dance, shakara, wo. Chiki, chiki, kope, wa. Tomato, pantana, mera, wo. I say, dance, sikira. Potato, dance, shakara, wo.
1604end.com.
Not before kitchen. We can be governors, we can be presidents, we can be anything men can be. Loretta, are we on one page?
Of course we are. It can right. be anything you want to be. Just put your mind to it and work towards it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the voice of one of my guests, Loretta Ahuokweme. She is a WANEP WIPNET River State Coordinator. You're welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good afternoon, listeners.
And I also have Charles Inkotaria, a security expert in the studio. Charles, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
The program is Women Voices for Peace, a program sponsored by WANEP, West Africa Network for Peace Building. They are the sponsors of this program. And my name is Rachel Ona. From now till 3 o'clock, we'll be talking on women and small arms proliferation in Nigeria. That's the topic under discussion, women and small arms proliferation in Nigeria. And that was why I invited a security expert especially to come talk to us about arms being in proliferation and all that. So Charles, you have the stage. Tell us about what you know on arms in proliferation in Nigeria.
Yeah, thank you very much, Rachel. And co-guests and listeners, you know, the hand proliferation in Nigeria is very high, very, very high. According to Abdul Salami recently, he said 6 million arms are in proliferation. In fact, the armed nations in the country, over 80% of it are in the hands of non-security actors, you know, that is the civilians and other people. So there is very strong high proliferation of firearms in our country presently. Now, because it's because of the insecurity in the area, all the gun runners are focusing more in Nigeria, you know, more Nigeria. The people from Turkey, from Russia, from different parts of the world are focusing seriously Nigeria. Now, the influx of unlicensed arms into our territory comes through different areas, through our borders, through the land borders, the sea, and the rest, our waterways and the rest, and then find their way to the hands of criminals and other bandits, terrorists, and so on. So that when you say hand proliferation, there is strong high proliferation of firearms within the Nigerian citizens, Nigerian people, you know. So okay. About 6 million precisely is in proliferation currently as we speak.
Okay, Loretta, as somebody working with civil society, what's your impression about arms in the wrong hands in Nigeria?
Of course, it's dangerous. Of course, it's very, very dangerous. It's a very dangerous trend. And you know, I don't know what to say, but I think we are really tilting into very dangerous grounds, and if it's not watched properly, we could go into anything from civil war to, you know, anarchy, chaos, you know, anything. Just call it anything, because when we have about 6 million arms, like Charles just said, what does it tell? It tells us that it is everywhere, even in your house, because somebody could be hiding something in your premises and you wouldn't know it. So it is, we are sitting in a keg of gunpowder. But we can as well also open our eyes and do something. That is, if our government is ready to do something. Because this one is not a matter of what individuals can do. Yes, individuals can contribute, but majority of the work has to be done by the government and the security agencies.
Okay, Loretta, how do you think these arms got into the wrong hands? How?
How? So many countries are producing arms and they want to sell them.
Okay.
They don't produce it for to use for their private lives or protect their private lives. They produce it for those who want to fight. They produce it for countries, for people who want gone, for different reasons. For protection, for terrorism, for insurgency, anything. Just they don't just produce because it's their business. So anytime they see anywhere that looks ripe for their markets, all attention moves towards it. And that's exactly what Charles said. Nigeria is a very big market for them right now because of all the triggers, the conflicts that are everywhere in the country. You can look around, we hear it every day. Our roads have become very unsafe. Your homes are very unsafe. Your schools are very unsafe. Nowhere is safe anymore. That is to say, they must do those things with different kinds of arms. So it is really not good for us.
All right, Charles, how do you think these arms get into Nigeria without stress, with unchecked and all that?
Yeah, you see, we have the landmass of Nigeria span about 950,000 square kilometers. And we have less than 1 million security operatives, including military, paramilitary, and the rest. So you see that for less than 1 million security operatives cannot cover the landmass, the space. We have a lot of ungoverned space in our country.
What do you mean by ungoverned space?
That is, the landmass is very vast. And so the less than 1 million security operatives cannot cover the entire landmass. So there are a lot of, it's just recently people come to realize that even Sambisa Forest alone is twice the size of Lagos.
Really?
Yes. Lagos from Port Harcourt to Lagos by flight is 45 minutes, but they use 2 hours to fly within Sambisa Forest.
Wow.
So you see that it's quite big. Lagos is just 3,500 square kilometers. And then Sambisa is far more than that. And then it is recently the Nigerian security were able to get a full grip, if at all they have been able to get a full grip of Sambisa Forest, for instance, alone. And then our waterways, for instance, River State, we have 11,500 square kilometers. And then 60% of it is water. 60% of it is water. And these waterways, nobody can guarantee full safety along the waterways. So we have a lot of porous borders. We have a lot of porous corners that can chip in arms. And like I said earlier, all the armed gun runners are focusing more on the South Sahara region, precisely Nigeria. And so you see that the government cannot even control the proliferation, except there is holistic citizen integration into the security architecture that will be able to check most of these excesses. Because when you have a population of about 200 million persons to be secured by 1 million, less than a million security operatives, there is nothing they can do much, you know, than what they are already doing. And so for us to reduce these and check these excesses, the citizens must be integrated into the security architecture. So,
how do we, can you go more into details? How do we integrate the citizens into the security architecture, which you just mentioned right
yeah,
now?
Is it
like forming vigilantes or?
No, not vigilante. The vigilante, it's what, you know, the security, police and the rest see as citizen participation. That's unfortunately, that is just one unit of citizen participation. Vigilante, it is not, but they need to institutionalize citizen participation from the state, federal level, state, and the local level.
So tell us about citizens' participation in security.
Yeah, citizen participation in security is the platform. It's a global concept of bringing in the community into the security architecture. One way they do that is to come up with legal framework to institutionalize the participation. At the federal level, the state cannot domesticate the law according to their peculiarity. You know, when they domesticate those laws, they bring up operatives.
You're speaking big English.
Yeah, when they domesticate the laws.
So what do you mean by domesticating laws? This is a platform where so many people listen to us. The educated and the not so educated people listen to us.
Yeah, domesticate the law is for the state to hone up to the law according to their peculiar challenges.
Okay.
Precisely like River State, for instance. We have water surrounding us. We have 40% of our land mass being used, and then 60% is water. So the law that is obtainable in the north may not be obtainable here. So that is why you look at our peculiar challenges, precisely our coastal environment, and put it into consideration in preparing a local law to fast-track citizen participation. So that is why we call the domesticate the laws to accommodate citizen participation. Now, in citizen participation, you will be able to identify, you will be able to integrate the residents. When we say citizen participation, people call vigilante. No, but we're talking of real-time occupants, the shop owners, the hotel operators, the vulcanizers on the streets, the shops, the motor parks, everybody, residents, need to be integrated into the security architecture. Now, by that, we reduce the residents and everything to different units by encouraging what we call security wardens, volunteers in every building, every compound, just like you have fire warden in your compound here. If there's any fire outbreak, the fire warden know how to evacuate people. The fire warden must have identified muster point where people will run to get roll calls of those are on duty and the rest. Why? Because he's been trained. It is an obligation you need to carry out as a citizen for your immediate environment. And so we encourage fire security wardens in every building, every compound, and the rest to be integrated and facilitated by the citizen institutions. We're talking of that supposed to run the citizen integration.
So how can this happen in the neighborhood? Who takes up the challenge of bringing up gathering people together?
That's where government comes in. It's a global concept. We call it community policing.
Okay.
The community policing is owned and managed by the police. Why? There's an integral part of it called the neighborhood watch, owned and managed by the people. Now they form synergy to fast track real-time intelligence gathering for you to be able to fast track happenings at that particular time. The Nigerian security lack intelligence, real-time intelligence, and that is why
they have the CIDs and other secret police officers who don't wear uniforms, who go around to gather information. Are you saying they're incompetent?
No, how many are they? We're talking of less than 1 million. And over 60% of them are VIP, are protecting VIPs and oil facilities and installations, you know. So you have less than 40% of these, less than 1 million security operatives to secure the remaining Nigerians. And so you see that practically it is not possible for you to get maximum security and preemptive security, because Nigerian security system have not been preemptive enough.
Preemptive.
And that's why.
Can you throw more light on the word preemptive?
Yeah, preemptive security is a security strategy that helps fast track early warning signs and signals and nip on the board. It helps to reduce the rate of casualties and the rate of victims to violence. You know, that is why you see the death rate is getting higher on daily basis. When you hear bandits operate at so place, you see 10, 15, 20, one night. Sometimes we've got cases like 40 people killed and so on. So when you come up with preemptive security, you will be able to identify early warning signs and signals. When you come up with preemptive security approach, you will be able to mop up this proliferation of harms that is all over our country. You will have genuine contribution and genuine participation by the community and the stakeholders to be able to mop up these harms that is.
I'm coming to mopping up the harms, but let's talk to Loretta so that it doesn't seem as if it's only you talking.
No,
so
it's okay.
now, you know, where we have conflicts, Loretta, where we have conflicts, we know that women and girls are the worst hit. They suffer so much from rape and abuses. So what are the challenges faced by women within communities due to proliferation of small arms?
Well, you have already said it. Because when we have all these arms around, and of course, you know, for a while we have been also be fighting with the issue of cultism around us here, you know, in River State and our environment. These communities that have this conflict, the women, the girls are being raped every day, they are being killed. Women cannot go, they are no longer free or safe to step out of their homes. They can't even go to fetch water in the stream, assuming, you know, they have streams to go to fetch water. So it is a very dangerous trend. And because of that, women and girls and children, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and children
are always, vulnerable.
Yes, they are always at the receiving end. Because even when, you know, the people themselves, you know, that are fighting themselves still die, it is somebody's child. It is somebody's
husband.
So at the end of the day, it is still the woman who is the mother, who is the daughter, who is the wife that will bear the brunt of it. Okay. That is why it is important that everybody is involved in the control of these small arms and light weapons.
Okay, still on you, Loretta. How can women be engaged to prevent the widespread of small arms at the community level? Since you guys work in the communities, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how can we engage women to participate in checking the spread of small arms?
Yeah, participating is just, you know, what my guest has already said, getting everybody involved, training people to know the early signs, watch out to see. Everybody will be involved. The women also will be involved. The girls also will be involved. And when they see, you know, things moving around them, they will be able to alert whoever is or the appropriate quarters that this is what I am seeing. Early warning signs are very, very important. And if you do not include the women and the girls when these decisions are taken or when these trainings are going on, that's assuming we are ready in Nigeria to do that, to ensure that citizens participate in their own protection by giving necessary input information to the necessary authorities as at when they are supposed to. If they are not included, then the men cannot do it alone. The women must be integrated. And when those decisions are also being taken, women are supposed to sit at the table with them so that they will be able to tell you in what capacity they can participate, in what capacity they can act, and what they can do. But if you do not include them, then you will not know what they can do.
But so far, do you feel women are being carried along security-wise?
So far, no.
Okay.
Because the input of women is never asked. Even when in these communities I'm talking about now, even when we are talking about, okay, reconciliation, or how do we monitor what is happening, nobody calls the women. It is only the men that gather themselves and they do their decisions. And when they have decided, they pass it down to the women. And of course, most times is they don't follow it because they don't know what to do with it. But if you put them on the table when you're deciding, they will be able to tell you what they can do.
Okay, instead of
instead of passing down information and instructions, they can tell you what they can do, in what capacity they can work and perform. So Charles, that is why it is important that they include everybody.
Charles, do you
especially
agree
the women
with,
and the
with
girls?
What she's saying, that the women are not adequately included in security matters, especially neighborhood security and
security,
all that.
Security, precisely, it's not political outing. Where you look at gender sensitivity.
Oh, my word.
Security cut across board. You understand? Yes, yeah. It's obvious that, like she said earlier, that when they call for people, stakeholders, and so on, women are not involved and so on. It's, even the stakeholders they see as stakeholders in security in Nigeria are not the stakeholders. Stakeholders in security, citizen participation, are the residents. You see, sometimes you call a king of a community because you want to talk security. Mm. And perhaps the king don't even live there. He goes home when they when his there are chieftaincy activities and so on is needed. When you talk of stakeholders in that community, you're talking of about residents, people who are there 24/7 doing one business or the other in that environment. Rachel, without taking you back, let me just briefly read something to you. In Nigeria currently, we have over 6 million hams in the hands of non-stakeout actors, the civilians and the rest.
We're not talking about security people here.
No. Security people, the entire security as a whole, have about 567,000 hams.
Wow.
Why non-state actors, non-security operatives, have about 6 million?
So the arms are in the wrong hands, more than the
Nigerian right security hands. Agents and so on, and so there is an overwhelming influence. The entire environment is over militarized. The communities currently now about 36 states of Nigeria, we have 31 states have military operations in Nigeria. So you see that the entire environment is over militarized. But until we come to realize this and look out for non-kinetic approach, the Nigerian security have been concentrating so much on military options. Military options cannot solve the insecurity in our country. You will rather create more tension in the communities. You rather create more, you know, victims of violence. Well, until we look at non-kinetic approach, you see that nobody is safe. If you go to villages, communities, even the militants or the army, where you have army, you know, in operations, you will see one AK-47 by the right-hand side of the left-hand side of the army. You will see a little girl of maybe 20, 19 years on his laps, and some of them backing, and a little newborn baby at their back. And then you see a AK-47 here. You see a little girl by the other side of the laps, and you will see a bottle of beer by the corner. That is what is obtainable in our communities. Either on the both sides, the military or the civilian JTF or vigilante, we call them. Until we decide to go outside that environment. Currently, even the regional actors or players are already coming up with armed groups, regional, call them regional security and the rest, to further, you know, militarize the environment and so on. Until the Nigerian security look at non-kinetic approach, bring in experts to guide them on how you come up with non-kinetic approach other than these military options.
Charles, can you tell us about the non-kinetic options?
The non-kinetic options are these citizen participation we're talking of. Citizen participation does not really require arms much. You use lesser firepower in this case. It will help to reduce the over-militarization of our environment. It will help to reduce the tension. The carrying of arms, parade of arms, you see in the evening, you see vigilante parade arms. The following morning, you see police come, parade arms, and so on. It will reduce it when you have real-time intelligence sharing and gathering, you know, between the stakeholders and the security agents.
So who will initiate this now?
The government. You know, we have been talking about this for a very long time. Recently, the immediate past Inspector General of Police came up with community policing. But when he made the presentation to National Assembly, we wrote officially to the Secretary to the Federal Government that it is not complete. they have, they, you are aware of the constabularies they put in place to all police divisions. Now, the ghost constabularies cannot be efficient if they don't have the corresponding part of the community, which is the neighborhood watch. And so the federal government need to come up with these integral components in the community policing, as is being done globally, for you to enhance or fast-track community participation. You know, by then, you see the constabularies come up with the required results. But when you don't put constabularies to these police divisions, they just sit down there and take salary at the end of the month.
About the constabularies, because many people are not aware of that.
Yes, and the Inspector General of Police, the recent Inspector, the past Inspector General of Police, come up with community policing.
Okay.
And in the community policing, they decided to come up with constabularies to every police, about 700 and something thousand police divisions
what
across
the constabularies?
Country. The constabularies are people, community people, the police recruit and train on how to communicate and interface with the security, the community in terms of security. That is a good step. That is a good step in the right direction, but there is a missing component that makes it more active, which is the neighborhood watch. The neighborhood watch is owned and managed by the people, by the community. That is an institutionalized platform that would have been able to fast track citizen participation. Because it is these neighborhood watch officers that will be able to fast track this security warden we're talking of in every building, every compound. If you have, like, for instance, Victoria Street, and you have up to 100 number 1 to 100, you have 100 security wardens, because you have one security warden to anchor security activities in every building. So you have 100 there already that will be working closely with the constabularies within the police division nearest to that place. They will be able to bring up real-time fast-track intelligence gathering by the residents within that area. There's also what we call Volunteer Information System, is a hub that would have been a toll-free hub for citizens to upload informations. When you upload in the VIS system, it will eliminate the informant. So the area of where people say you give police information, they will use it against you, will be totally eliminated.
It will be faceless.
Yes, it will be faceless. Mm-hmm. But the trouble zone will be spotted. And then the back-end server will be shared between the security agencies within that territory. Mm-hmm. So that you will be able to fast-track trouble zones. And then the back-end users, like the neighborhood watch, would have been able to also fast-track response time. So that the areas where you have poor response time, you will be able to build up on logistics to cover up that response time. So it is basically designed to preempt crime. And it will cut down the chances and opportunity for crime.
Even before it happens,
even
right?
Before it happens. Mm. That is what Nigerian security is lacking.
Mm. All right. Being proactive in crime fighting. The program is Women Voices for Peace, a program sponsored by WANEP, West African Network for Peace Building. Okay, and today we're talking about women and arms proliferation in Nigeria. What can be done to curb the number of arms in proliferation in Nigeria, because it's disturbing. It is at an alarming rate. In case you want to call us to offer a suggestion or to talk about this topic, do call us 0903-853-7092. 0903-853-7092. We'll probably have another number, 0818 057 7977 0818 057 7977. We already have a caller.
Hello, good afternoon.
What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Yeah, I'm calling from Abuja. My name is Victor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, the problem of Nigeria is not the civilians, neither the military. Now, I can say that by it's too echo. Can you hear me?
Hello? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's too echo. Hello?
Go ahead, I'm hearing you.
Okay. The problem is is our politician. Our politician will grab a certain money that belongs to community, states, and the individuals. That's the problem of the why the arms is rising. In the other way around, to find out, you see that if the senators will be earning like 1,000 naira monthly, you see somebody that is bringing the money, generating the money, is earning sankobo, will not be able to. And in all development communities, you see that everywhere is drinking, nobody will be able to control such. Thank you.
Thank you very much. He raised 2 points. Number one, he said the politicians are to blame for arms proliferation in Nigeria, and then the jumbo pay earned by senators in Nigeria and members of National Assembly. Charles, you want to react to that? Do you agree with him?
Yeah, of course, something.
First of all, are politicians responsible for bringing arms into the hands of those who shouldn't bear them?
Yeah,
he is blaming politicians.
Yes, those are causes of or sources of funding and the rest. But we're talking of creating a moral standard, a value system that will go beyond sentiments and that will go beyond feelings, you know. Whichever source or whoever must be the founder of such this thing, if we lock up or reduce the chances of their operations and so on, you see that it will come down by default. You know, if we look beyond tribal, emotional, political, or whatever sentiments, and create this security platform, you see that we have, because when you look at it, we need to be alive before we talk of interest. When there is a stray bullet, it does not know which party as you hit, you know, it hits anything that stands on their way, on its way. And so it cuts across political party. PDP die, APC die, you know, and their supporters, the same thing. So you see that the issue of security is beyond political sentiments.
Okay.
It's beyond sectional sentiment or tribal sentiments. It has to do with we staying alive. And so it comes first before you talk of political divides.
Okay, we'll have another call. Hello, good afternoon. Oh, we lost that call. Okay, sorry for that. You can call us 0903-853-7092. Okay.
And hello? That's actually... Okay, somebody's...
Hello, good afternoon. Yeah. Your name
good
and where you're calling from.
Can you hear me, ma'am?
Yes, I can hear you. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Esther Diamond. I'm calling from Port Harcourt.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. One of the solutions to this insecurity, number one, is God.
Fraud, you said?
God.
And how do I mean? Because the situation has gone out of hand now, even out of the hand of Mr. President, the governor. The sin is already committed. The only way out to stop this killing, kidnapping, ritualism.
Hello?
It's a return back to God. In Lord, we are sorry. Coming together. State after state, in intercession. That's the assignment God told us. So I would like to speak on air to bring people together, state after state, as a solution. 6 months' time, peace will reign in Nigeria. This is what I have as contribution.
All right. Thank you very much. She spoke from the angle of the God factor, that if we can embrace God in all this, it will help us fight insecurity. All right, keep the calls coming. 0903-853-7092. We're talking about proliferation of arms in Nigeria and how it can be curbed. 0903-853-7092. We have another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my sister.
Your name and where you're calling from?
Okay, I'm Comrade. I'm calling from Lagos.
Is that your confidence?
Comrade.
Comrade Jane.
Philip.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the gentleman in your office is very wise. If only all the authorities in Houston can be
checked. Your line is breaking. Can you drop and call us back, please? Your line is breaking.
Okay.
Because I can barely hear you. We actually have another line through which you can reach us. You can call 0818-057-7977. 0818-057-7977. All right, let's see. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Your name, please, and where you're calling from?
Yes, I called back.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes, the gentleman in your video is very right. The only way we can put insecurity in this nation is if only the other military bodies like the Labour Force can be allowed to give 60-70% power to operate.
I'm sorry, maybe it's tempted to stop the call for now because we can't hear you. Your line is breaking. Please try and call back, maybe with another line. Okay, I have another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon, good day.
Your name, please, and where you're calling from?
This is calling from Rwanda.
You're welcome, go ahead.
Okay, the best way to everything about security in Nigeria is to make sure that the youths have something to do. If you are paid well, if you are paid in the company where you are working, you hardly come and carry arms. And your children will be taken care of. So the whole rich men and the politicians in the country should come back and make sure that everybody has a job opportunity in Nigeria. If you are working, you hardly think evil, because I do have the devil's option. Thank you
very much. He's saying is unemployment that is causing proliferation of arms insecurity in Nigeria, that jobs should be provided for people. Okay. All right. It's still Women Voices for Peace on Radio Nigeria, Treasure 98.5 FM Patakut. And I have two guests right here in the studio to discuss the topic, women and arms proliferation in Nigeria and how to curb the arms that are in the wrong hands. Now, Charles, you're a security expert. You talked about mopping up the arms while explaining a point here. So how do you think we can mop up the arms that are already in the wrong hands right now?
Yeah, for us to do proper and holistic mop up of arms, first, like I said, you have to involve the people to identify armories and identify arms movements.
So there are actually armories.
Yes, there's
so
much.
Is that what you're trying to let us know?
Yes, there are so much private armories.
Wow.
Bigger than I'm telling you that the entire Nigerian security have less than 1 million arms. Then you, according to General Abdul Salami.
Abubakar.
He's the chairman of the Peace Committee of Nigeria. And then from any word from such authority can be quoted anywhere.
And he's an ex-military man too.
Ex-military officer.
Mm-hmm.
So for less than 1 million hands. And then you have about 6 million in the hands of non-state actors. So what do you expect? Definitely there will be a lot of places where they will house them. You know? So you need to identify those areas. You need to do a proper mop-up, like the different inspector generals of police have come up with their mop-up programs. We just call it political approach, where they will say, if you have arms, come and surrender your arms within so-so time to so-so window. You know, that those are their political approach. But for them to do genuine mop-up of arms, there must be proper integration of the people. That's number one. Secondly, in most cases, like
Charles, what do you mean by integration?
Integration, we talk about the citizen participation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have citizen participation, for instance, I give you an example of a street where you have 100 security wardens, and any harms within that area or any regular movement within that area can be easily networked, you know, with there is a proper collaboration, because the security wardens are just people to anchor security activities in that particular compound. We do what we call train the trainer. We train them on how they will train their residents on what to watch out for, what to look out for, what happened, what are the regular movements you report immediately. When you are able to fast track that, it's easy to do a proper harms mop.
When you talk about reporting, people are scared of reporting right now.
Yes, that's why we bring in this volunteer information system, VIS. VIS is a network, is a network that will be able to fast track information, you know, from residents,
so
without bringing your identity.
Who do they report to?
The VIS is a robust information platform that will be shared by the residents and the security agents.
Okay.
Now, when there is an institutionalized platform coordinating such information portal, it is easier when there is any signal from a particular, maybe NTA Road, for instance, number 40 NTA Road, upload a report. There is a neighborhood watch officer attached to NTA Road that will be able to identify the nearest firepower, which is either the nearest police station or the nearest operation by any of the commission, by the commissioner of police, or the nearest army operations, anything, to be able to link that operation or that operators to the crime scene. And then also monitor, it will also help to monitor response time. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that if the response time is 5 minutes from the scene, you know, you will know if you can improve on 5 minutes to 2 minutes, you know. But when you do that gradually, you see that it will help to eliminate crime. For instance, in community, if somebody carry big bags or one person coming with tinted glasses, tinted vehicle, they begin to offload bags from that place. Even the process of offloading, information must have leaked out. The next thing you see police there to mop up that arms or mop up this thing. So that is how you do the information. And that is why in overseas, you see a man beating his wife somewhere. Next thing you see police. They are not using charms or anything. It's because the information system there is properly networked.
Mm.
And so if you're able to network this information system, you will beat these criminals on their game. But if you relax and say, when you want to do security, you will now call the king or you will call the chiefs. 60% of them are not resident in their community.
Yeah,
these things are actually, you know, the peace building models, you know, peace building models that, you know, those of us in WANEP and Partners for Peace in the Niger Delta has been talking about. But the government does not seem to listen to us at all. They feel that militarization is still the best. Nobody wants to think about peace building. Just like what he has said, involve everybody. Let everybody know what they are supposed to do. This is a volunteer thing. You are not going to pay them. They volunteer themselves. Okay, I want to be part of this system because I don't like what is happening, and I want to make sure that I contribute my quota as a citizen to safeguard myself and safeguard my family and my community people. So this volunteerism, that spirit, is what you will use to get more people involved, to monitor what happens around them and report to the appropriate quarters. This idea, you just said that people are scared to report. Yes, but we also in Partners for Peace, I'm not talking about Partners for Peace here, but I know that they have a platform, an early warning platform, where you send a text message and your phone line and all that is not recorded.
Hmm.
They just receive your information and they pass it on to the people that are supposed to use it.
See,
so peace building, it's the next thing where we are supposed to be talking about. Peace building, that is that citizen participation.
Okay.
We learn what to do.
Yes, yeah. Okay. You see, the funny part of it is that these things we are telling the government to do, which they have not been able to do, the criminals are taking advantage of it.
Of course.
You know, the key thing we have in the country is the gap between the security and the communities. That's why you see, there can be a crime scene here, and police come here, and even the criminal could be among the people here, and every person know the criminal, but nobody will say anything. Police will do mass arrest, do profiling, and you will see innocent people suffer in the process for a very long time before they even get to the criminal. Next thing you see, police will come and say they say the person that carried that so-so-so bank robbery has been apprehended. Is that fine? But the bank robbery would have been preempted, averted, if there is participation. Currently, criminals enjoy empathy from the community, either by inducement or coercion, but they are enjoying empathy from the community. Community even give information to criminals than even security agents. Is that bad? So until the government is able to turn this table around, look at non-kinetic approach in internal security management, to help reduce the over-militarization of our communities.
Just like when I passed the early warning system too, how many people report to it? Because some of them also do not have that spirit of volunteering information, especially on these platforms that we are not going to report to anybody, that you are the person that sent the information. Some of them want also their palms to be greased. Some of them will say, who is going to give us the recharge card, the airtime, to be sending the text messages? But if people are properly trained, like what ONEP is doing now, we are training community volunteers to ensure that we get, you know, information at all times, what is happening within their communities. So these people are helping so far, they are doing their work so far, but we need more people. How many people are volunteering to be trained?
It cannot be. Let me tell you. You see, people have been doing different efforts, putting different efforts scatteredly. Government need to come in to create a legal framework protecting this citizen participation. Now, when there's a legal framework that will be funding, they will not fund from ad hoc expenditures. The legal framework will spell out how much is expected to inject to the security, institutionalization of security. A situation where citizen representatives will be there when there is a Security Council meeting to protect citizens, you know, local citizens. Recently, the National Security Advisor was calling for domestic intelligence. You cannot get domestic intelligence the way the British government get it when they were here with us. The idea of getting informants and the rest is analog. It's done by the British government because they don't know you. They just need somebody around there to give them information. And it is the same network the security is still using till now. Until you're able to go beyond that and really integrate the people into the security network, the criminals will continue to operate like stars.
And also use the technology that is available.
There are technologies available
all over.
You know, so you will make use of it.
Information.
Yes.
Anybody that sends information is not, you know, pinpointed.
Yes.
Okay.
You know,
that fear is what we're trying to guard against.
Yes.
And look for a solution too. All right. What about the amnesty program? Would you say it's a success? It has been a success so far. You know, during Yar'Adua's time, he tried to like mop up some arms in the Niger Delta. Would you say that action is successful and still yielding results till today?
Well, if you say still yielding results till today, I can't say because I don't see much result is yielding now.
The amnesty program is still on, right?
Yes, it's still on. But if you say it's still yielding result, I can't say about that. But where, if you say, was it a success? Yes, it was a success. There was arms buyback. That's another way of mopping up arms. There was genuine arms buyback. At that period, in Yar'Adua, the first injection, they put in 50 billion naira to mop up arms. And you see high caches of arms being surrendered by different people. If you buy back arms, you will see criminals will steal their own arms and come and surrender and collect the money. They did that during the Yar'Adua era and so on.
Some governors did it too lately. You know, they will be like, militants, bring your arms. But they end up submitting.
There was no arm buyback.
They told people to submit arms.
Yes, but we're talking of buying arms.
Giving them money
in place
of the arms. Okay.
Because when you do arms buyback, you know, every criminal know where the armory is. So you see them, even their own arms that they put together, they will go behind to steal.
to go and submit.
Yes, to go and submit.
So that they'll get money.
Yes, and you will see genuine mop-up. Ayinadua did it, and it was successful.
Hmm.
And Niger Delta, relatively, there was peace that period, within that period. Even till now, we're still enjoying that peace to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because there was a genuine hands buyback.
So from the pictures you have painted, it does appear that the government is not doing the right thing.
Yes, they are desirous of doing the right thing, but they are not doing the right thing.
Okay.
When it comes to this insecurity, they are putting in every effort to see how they can do the right thing. But you see, they are not. Because we come to realize also that some of the staunch members in the security cartel are benefiting from these things.
From the insecurity?
Yes.
Wow.
So a lot. Recently, the National Security Advisor was talking of arms money. You know, and so on. So you see that a lot of people are benefiting from it. And this until the citizens are integrated, there won't be checks to most of these activities.
Mm.
You know, there won't be checks to most of these activities. So when you integrate the citizens, you create a proper check on police brutality, you create a proper check on military brutality, different, you know, excesses by these security operators can be put to check when there is citizen participation.
All right, Loretta, you have something to say because we're about going. What do you have to say? Associating women?
My own is that we really need to put everybody on the decision table because everybody has a contribution.
Okay.
No contribution is not necessary because that person is coming from his or her own perception or perspective of what he or she has been seeing, more especially the women. They are the people that has been suffering more.
Yeah.
So they will have more tales to tell and how this thing has been impacting on them. Based on that, genuine decisions on how to control arms will also be taken into consideration. So I feel that women turning to booties of war all the time in different communities will also reduce starvation because it's staring us in the face. People can no longer go to the farm. Even the waterways, the piracies is getting on in the increase. So people that go to the rivers and seas for their daily bread can't even go again. And the thing is that in all of this thing, it is the women that is in the increase. Most men are no longer farming. It is women. Most of the communities, it is now the women that goes to farm.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that, it is the women that are more impacted negatively. So for whatever decision at any point, whether government, whether community, whether state, local government, women must be part of the decision. They must, their input must be taken into consideration for all this to have a very effective.
All right, Charles, your parting words.
Yeah, government need to call the National Security Advisor, the Inspector General of Police, the Secretary to the Federal Government need to engage experts. When we say experts, not the security operators, the army and the rest are operators. They are not the experts. You need to engage the experts to guide you.
So who are the experts?
The experts are the security strategists, the security planners, and the rest. You engage them to be able to come up and guide properly on this community policing. Our solution we need to solve this insecurity in the land is enshrined in the community policing. Unfortunately, it is not complete. It is not complete as presented by the previous Inspector General of Police. And so this present Inspector General of Police needs to look at the missing component of the community policing that integrates the citizen into the security architecture to fast track real-time intelligence within our communities.
All right, on that note, we want to thank our guests here in the studio, talking about Charles Nkotaria. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Rachel.
And then thank you, Loretta Ho-Kweme, a member of WANEP in River State. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much, and thank you, listeners.
You've done justice to the topic, and we pray that these arms will be mopped up someday. We'll be doing our best, but let the government and the authorities do their own part. This program has been sponsored by WANEP, West Africa Network for Peace Building. Thank you, listener, for being there. Those of you who called in, those of you who just sat and listened to the program. Thank you so much. Next week, God willing, at 2:05, we'll bring you another wonderful topic on this platform. My name is Rachel Ona. Thank you very much for being there. I'll now hand you over to my colleague, Lucy Chibweze, for the rest of the afternoon shift. Bye-bye.
Treasure FM fills you with pleasure. 98.5.
There's something special in the garden seat. Right on your diary.